Our second panelist today is going to be Dr. Musoka Fala. He is the DG, the Deputy Director General with the National Public Health Institute of Liberia.
Thank you very much. And I see a lot of correlates with the presentation by my colleague. But I think the most important thing I would say is that Ebola prepared us for COVID-19. When we had Ebola in 2014, for instance, we never had a lab to be able to test specimen. We literally were taking specimen to Guinea for testing at an MSF lab before getting the results. As a result, we lost essential time. But the key lesson from Ebola helped us to prepare. And one of the key things from Ebola was the fact that the National Public Health Institute was developed after Ebola with the mandate to protect the country from public health threat for early warning. And so that was the first infrastructure created that helped us a lot in the COVID response. Within the Public Health Institute is an entire department of infectious disease surveillance that does active surveillance every day. And that includes also our port of entry. And one of the things we also developed strongly after Ebola was the a strong laboratory system. And so we are able to test for over 9 priority diseases on a weekly basis. And most of the staff we developed as a result of the Ebola from testing thousands of specimens. And also we developed a lot of public health workforce using a field epidemiology training program. And so the fact that we had a strong public health workforce, we had a public health institute, we had a laboratory system, and we had a surveillance infrastructure. As a result, on January 18, I wrote to the Minister of Health and said that given the threat from China, there was a need for us to assess the risks of an importation of COVID-19 to Liberia. Based on our risk analysis, we have seen that in under 40 days, there were over 300 persons that came from China to Liberia between December and January. Based on that analysis, we wrote that we have an advisory activated for enhanced screening at the airport, as that was our greatest point of risk for an imported case. And Liberia became the first country to institute vigorous screening and testing and the issuance of health card to track people coming into the country. And so from January 22nd, we instituted enhanced airport screening. We tracked people, and then initially from January 22nd to February the 10th, we allowed people to go to their homes and they will be tracked from their houses. But we realized that some of the people are not responding to phone calls. And so on February the 12th, Liberia instituted institutional quarantine for all travelers. We initiated risk communication and we activated the incident management system. Incident management system had within it all of the key pillars: case management, contact tracing. All of those pillars were activated long in advance and got prepared. At the initial stage, we're meeting 3 times a week with all of the partners, looking at all of our strategic preparedness initiative. We did an assessment of the laboratory if we're ready to test for COVID-19. Based on the platform developed from Ebola, we realized that yes, we have similar molecular platform, but what we needed were the primers and the probe. We also link up with ECOWAS, WAHO, West African Health Organization, which is our regional body, to begin to study the risks across the region. And so one of our team was sent to the Pasteur Institute in Senegal for us to begin training, and then he got trained and brought the specimen in country. And so our lab was ready to do testing for COVID-19. In early March, we had suspected cases that we tested using our platform. And so basically the Ebola prepared us to go into immediate response phase, preparedness phase at the airport with enhanced screening, with institutional quarantine. Two other key things the Ebola did for us was working with the communities. During the Ebola, the 2014-15 Ebola, we had instituted extensive hand washing. And so as a result of our experience, we worked with the communities and immediately started hand washing. And I will have to say, I think most people have gotten used to hand washing. And so many persons brought their buckets out before institutions and ministries and started to do hand washing and started to do temperature check. The next thing we instituted was to put a ban on handshake. Everyone stopped shaking hands. So people stopped shaking hands. And again, this was from Ebola. We had learned to live for 1 year without shaking hands during Ebola. So it was much more easier to introduce those measures. And so those Ebola measures were put in place. And then I have to praise the president for the leadership. The president invited the minister and I. We presented to the president and we decided that it needed a national response. And so we proposed the development of a special presidential task force. This was inaugurated, headed by the president. As a result, multi-agency were involved in the response. For instance, we had the police at the airport. We had a foreign affairs diplomat to escort travelers. We had the Ministry of Foreign Affairs set up a meeting with all of the diplomats and the ambassadors. And we briefed the diplomats and the ambassadors on how we're going to determine countries with risks that were going to come to the country and the issue of institutional quarantine. Those measures were put in place in January, February, until March 16, when we had our first confirmed case. We also were able to work with the military for the military hospital. We did an assessment of the military hospital, the newly constructed military hospital, that we quickly converted to a treatment unit, the COVID-19 treatment unit. And so we were able to work with the military, use our doctors who are working in the Ebola treatment unit. And so it was easy for us to transition from those that had done work in Ebola and to train them rapidly to manage COVID-19. Another key thing from Ebola was the fact that at the close of Ebola, we had what we call the forward logistic bases. These were hubs that were created across the country that had PPE, that had gloves, that we had kept in order to prepare just in case there were future outbreaks. And so because we have four logistic bases established, basically the story of Liberia, we have around 266 cases. We have only three deaths from our treatment unit. We have over 146 discharges all alive. And we think that all of these achievements are a direct result of the Ebola. You know, I always said, within the Ebola, there was a silver lining. And the silver lining was, we're able to prepare to have a strong public health workforce, a strong laboratory system, the political leadership, and the ability to do contact tracing. And so these are all things that have contributed to us having lower cases, to be able to have hand washing and all of the community intervention by the population. And so those are the issues that have helped us. Thank you very much. I can take questions, but if you ask me, our success is based on the hard lessons we got from Ebola, 2014-2015 Ebola.
Taking from Dr. Fala, thank you so much. The issue again that comes up is political will and the accessibility of the leadership to want to engage and be part of solving or fighting the pandemic. Another one is the issue of experience. We all know that Liberia was so devastated not so long ago with Ebola. So that experience also assisted them in being able to do what is appropriate to try and curb this or prevent this COVID-19 from wreaking havoc again to the population. Another one is the issue of early warning signs and the system set around that and their ability as a government or as a country to be able to have that come out and be able to implement it as and when it's needed. Another one is the issue of screening at the borders or ports of entry, being mainly the airport. It seems that in Liberia, that is something that they were able to do it. We're in Liberia early this year, and we bear witness to how you're able to do that. Even the issue of behavior change, we're surprised when we got there that, you know, from the airport at the hotel, whether you just walk out for a few minutes, when you go back in, you had to wash your hands, and you wash it with soap and thoroughly soap. So thank you so much for that, Dr. Fala. To Dr. Fala, what government-wide initiatives were created to offer financial relief, and how did they keep, how did the innovativeness to keep business alive prevent the economy from collapsing?
Yeah, like we say, what we really saw happening with the COVID, I will have to say, is that we created a strong private sector initiative. And working with the private sector, helping them to realize that working together, we will be able to protect them. And so we saw a lot of very good overtures from the private sector. And I have to say, we have a multilateral company here, ArcelorMittal, that leads a West Africa private sector initiative. And so it is a bi-directional relationship. On the one hand, they are supporting us in the outbreak to protect their businesses. But also most of the work that we need in terms of logistics and feeding, we try to contract out to businesses so that we can keep them in business. For instance, we were able to engage a lot of the hotels for the institutional quarantine. And so by doing that, we're able to put money back into the businesses. And that's why I kept them afloat. Nowadays, even when the partial lockdown came, they could not be 100% lockdown because they wanted to protect the businesses. And now the lockdown has been increased by 3 hours, and certain businesses are allowed to operate. And so at any level, the private sector initiative, the bi-directional engagement in the response, trying to get most of what we need from local businesses, and then the third part, trying to make the lockdown to be business friendly so that they cannot be strangulated. These are some of the ways we try to protect the businesses in the midst of the outbreak.
Thank